Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Greetings once more from and to the Reckless Attack. Does that work? We are giving greetings to listeners, and we are greeting them to our podcast at the same time.
I was lost.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I have a that's all I got.
I followed it.
Okay, well... All right, let's take it from the top. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Nathan.
Our classic intro. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, everyone. We're Reckless Attack. Welcome. We are a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Thank you so much for joining us around the table once more, as I am joined, as always, by the excellent, excellent people around the table with me. I don't think I technically said I am GM Nathan, your benevolent Dungeon Master. And in fact, to my right is...
Hello, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Sylve Asterlin, the dragonborn monk who is in the middle of a tournament.
Indeed.
That he finally gets to talk about to his other companions in the guild through a series of flashbacks.
Yeah, technically, flashback.
Yeah, I guess from his perspective, mostly.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Is Sylve a reliable narrator?
Yeah.
That is the question. All of our listeners are going to have to be asking themselves throughout today's episode.
You know, and then when he has to face off against maybe a halfling fighter that happens to be 12 and a half feet tall and just covered in muscles.
We'll see how it goes.
It's all from Sylve's point of view.
Ask some questions.
So, yeah. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm David. And normally I play Kaskrin, the Dwarven Sorlock. But today I'm just playing a bunch of weird little guys.
Today we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not playing Kaskrin.
Yes, that, correct.
And you are here, and
I
that
am
is
here.
What we know.
Side note, I really want one of the fighters to be 3 kobolds in a coat.
Oh, that was going to be my guy.
Sylve, how could you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ruined the big reveal.
Right.
And to my right. Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and usually I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And I was also going to play 3 kobolds in a trench coat, but now I have to come up with another fighter to face Sylve today. So
right
thank
now,
you.
In
thank
the
you.
Moment.
4 kobolds in a trench coat.
Yeah, right. It's 2 kobolds and a goblin, I guess,
yeah.
in a raincoat. All right.
Distinctly different.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Sylve.
You're welcome.
You can go ahead now.
Sawbone is here.
What I would give to be able to see the audio spikes every time for the last
I can't do it at a normal
episode
yeah, no.
and a half that Sylve has opened her mouth of just it's got to be just really high, really high, really high down. And like, I just want to see that. That's all.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Sylve. Normally, I play Valeska Carter, the human astral cleric. Asterisk of the Arcana domain.
Yep.
But I stupidly, brilliantly chose to play Sawbone.
That she did. And
that's the last we're hearing from Sylve because her voice is going to be gone.
Nope.
Yeah.
This is going to be a turns out Sawbone heavy episode. Yeah. So
and folks, if you're listening and you happen to see Sylve out in the wild. Ask her to do the voice.
Yes, exactly. She will love to do it. She'll cherish the opportunity. As we've alluded to a little bit here, we are just right at the beginning, day one of the tournament arc, baby. That's right. Sylve has gone off to represent himself and his monastery at this tournament of champions happening in the Mountains of Fire. And... you know, kind of got thrown into things immediately. And by immediately, I mean like truly the least amount of time possible between arrival and fighting. That was Sylve's experience. But, you know, hey, he held his own even against the onslaught of a certain fighter whose name we do not need to scream in this moment. To save. Sylve was like looking at me in the corner, is like, are you wanting me to do it? Is this the
I'll
time?
I'll do it.
Just to be clear, I'll do it. In between his bouts, Selv was actually summoned behind the scenes by the abbot herself. She took Selv to the side, brought him into her office, and explained that someone was looking to steal their dragon egg, which is also one of the founding purposes of this order, much in the same way that Selv's was also ordained to guard dragon eggs. He was asked to investigate as the tournament is going on, and making sure that whoever was after this dragon egg was caught in the most public and punishable way possible.
And, you know, from everything I've learned from our PI tree guy, first stop would be I need a trench coat of some kind and a large hat.
Well, the issue...
Then the clues should just come to me then, I think.
Right? That could be true. The only issue, you guys... And by you guys, I mean Selv and whatever weird Blorbos the three of you are playing. Find yourselves in the Mountains of Fire.
I was going to say, all of the trench coats are sold out.
Yeah.
And you see there's a bunch of new trench coat wearing randos walking around.
And they are all very sweaty. They are all extremely dehydrated. Multiple people are collapsing.
And one of them looks like three things stacked up together.
Indeed. Could
a
be.
A non-zero number of them. Yeah. Right. Three things.
But all around you is, again, just to reset the scene, dark gray and black buildings made out of brick, stacked high, very angular, but still beautiful, albeit old and basic. Selv, you have just exited the abbot's office and found yourself standing in front of a huge charcoal tree.
I'll go take a look at it and see if it's still solid, if it looks like it's, you know, about to tip over or collapse under its own weight.
You knock on it, you know, kind of touch it respectfully, presumably. No one's there to chide you. And as you kind of touch it and manipulate it, you actually get dust and ash all over your hands and kind of up on your person. The trunk of it certainly seems to be that of a dried out, dead hunk of carbon. As you're looking around and taking in all of the spectacle and still hearing cheers from the crowd ring out, you hear the drums of battle, you hear various cries from fighters, you do see that these branches that are sprawling out scores of feet in all directions. As you're maybe walking away from the tree, you see just at the ends, tiny bits of green sticking out. Self, you know that there is still fighting happening for some time. You don't have a lot of leads at this juncture as to what's going on, where even to look, or anything like that. How is Self, with this new revelation, both feeling and what kind of actions is he looking to do?
What I'm thinking is that since it's day one and most of the people are going to be watching whatever fight is happening, that if I was going to try to steal something, this would be the time I would use to look around and figure out my best way in, see what everything kind of looks like. So I wouldn't necessarily be at the arena.
Okay.
Selv is casing the joint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roll the case.
I'll start off in the food area and then maybe take a tour, look around, see if there's anybody that seems to be breaking away from the main group and just kind of going out on their own. Or if there is any kind of tour that's being given, I would join that group if it's some kind of like, looks like it's somebody from the monastery giving that particular tour.
Sel, as you are casing the joint, you're walking around the cafeteria trying to see what's going on with the food. And you hear a small, squeaky voice come from behind you. Oh, please, please, pardon me. Oh my God. And you see a small, young girl with, like, bangs and, like, shoulder-length hair kind of trying to shuffle past you with a tray of sandwiches.
There's, like, 40 feet on the other side of me. You got
Oh, no.
I'll try to catch them. I'll try to catch the... the tray with the sandwiches.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Nathan, you've given David too much power.
So that's an 18 on the die. I think I'm plus...
Okay, six. Yeah. You catch her masterfully, and there's the scene from Spider-Man where you have the tray, and you are just catching each of the sandwiches individually as they fall along with this young girl.
The Raimi Spider-Man.
Yeah, just the Raimi. The only Spider-Man. Thank you very much.
Complicated.
And you've established what Spider-Man we are talking about with Sawbone.
And this young girl is dressed in the black and red robes of the Mountain of Fire. She's clearly belongs here, at least based off of her clothing. And she says, "Oh, sir, thank you so much. The madam was going to be so mad if I dropped another tray of sandwiches."
Perhaps a fewer number of sandwiches on the tray would make it easier to carry.
Yes, of course. It's just so busy around here. And oh, I'm sorry, you must be busy. I have to go.
No, that's quite all right.
As she is like rapidly trying to like pick herself up and like dust herself off, make me a insight roll.
14.
The young girl hardly takes the tray of sandwiches from your hand and says, "Oh, thank you again so much. I have to be going. Toodaloo." And she kind of like scurries away and starts like placing sandwiches, you know, kind of where they're supposed to be. And you don't know if one of your pockets maybe feels a little lighter.
I was just going to say, I check everything.
So strange. Somebody's serving sandwiches in a buffet line.
So the food, this strange encounter with a waiter, child worker slash thief slash bad thief, not entirely sure. Or really good thief.
Maybe the sandwiches was her target the entire time.
That's true. Could be. While there's still a lot of people around the ring watching and taking it all in, this is indeed a pretty busy thing. It's getting to be dinner time. A lot of people also arrived that day, and, you know, fighting is hard work. So there's a lot of activity, a lot of sounds of plates scraping and chatter and chairs, you know, kind of being moved to and from the table. But especially filling your nose is this really savory, spicy smell that is just kind of hitting you right in the back of your dragonborn nostrils and nasal passages. You see right in the middle of this, kind of buffet line is a huge cauldron of what appears to be some sort of a stew or something that lots of people are going up for. And you would see probably a few faces that you recognize as well.
Well, the stew actually smells pretty good. So Selv is going to make his way over to the large pot and grab either a bowl or plate and get a I don't know what the proper term is, glop of stew.
Yes. So glop is indeed a good, I would say, verb, identifier, noun, descriptor, etc. Because this, whatever this is, there is just kind of one person, this very burly individual, just stirring with what might be a full boat paddle, you're not entirely sure, and is just very gruffly looking at everyone coming up and just, grunts, and takes his whatever stirring implement out, which has a ladle on the end, and just kind of like glops a bowl of this very thick, very pungent melange of various ingredients and stuff, and just kind of, and then shakes his head, indicating, keep going down the line, get out of the way. As you go through, you're also given kind of your own individual huge loaf of crusty bread, and you're given a little like kind of ramekin that has a like honey baked apple in it, and are just very suddenly your arms are full with food that is just all very, very intoxicatingly fresh and pungently smelling.
Attorney is hungry business.
So Selv, as you are wandering the lunch tables of this cafeteria looking for a place to sit, the bread is just so large and you're just carrying so much. It's hard to see what's out in front of you until you feel something up against your leg trying to trip you and force you to drop all of your food. Can you make me a dexterity saving throw?
What are the Zangs doing?
No.
Sophie, is there a dexterity saving throw you would like to suggest that that Self makes?
Sawbone, seeing his friend getting harassed in the lunchroom, is coming on over. I'm gonna pick him up.
Can you imagine? Sawbone just comes in and just punches someone in the face, drags Self over.
No, I imagine it's a Sawbone, like, a hand on Self's shoulder to, like, hold him steady.
Or the other person is like, cut it out. Anyway,
Sawbone
anyway.
Respects no, lunchroom.
This is perfect. I want Sawbone to come.
Yeah, right?
It's an unnatural 20.
Okay, so whatever mystery miscreant was trying to get you to drop your food has no effect on you. You casually step over it, barely notice what's going on, and you make your way to wherever you were about to sit down.
No, Sawbone shows up and is like, "Hey, you!" And points at whoever was trying to trip Self.
In the animated version of our show, Sawbone is going to be in the background, just absolutely wailing on some urchin that was like clearly just out of camera. Self, you are.
Self sits down in the background, is just like Sawbone, just flying through the air,
right with a people's elbow.
With a people's elbow, yeah.
So.
As you sit down, someone else against you.
There was a lot of concern around this table of like, this tournament arc, you know, what if it goes 3 or 4 episodes? And then it's like, how many times can we trip Self?
Yeah.
So eventually you wind through all of the various trips and very serious and potentially criminal wait staff at this place. And you've managed to find a table kind of to yourself. To maybe eat quickly so you can kind of keep on with your investigation or maybe keep an eye on things. Almost as soon as Dragonborn Tail touches chair, you hear a familiar voice call out to you.
Self, good match, friend.
Self will look a little puzzled, then turn around.
And you see Sawbone, but way less muscled out and with sleeves.
Wearing his lab coat.
His appropriate, like, doctor's uniform.
Oh, Sawbone, nice to see you again. Would you care to sit?
I'd love to. This food looks absolutely delicious. Got a carb and protein up after that.
Yes.
And Self just doesn't know what to do. This is not the voice that he had before.
Yeah.
And so now there's kind of like these thoughts going through his head of, was it an act?
I can see why you're confused.
Right. This is probably something that Sawbone has encountered before in his fighting career.
Mm-hmm. I really like to work myself up into a rage, and that really kind of comes out in my voice, and it's shredded right now, as you can tell. So I'm really excited for the stew, but I want to say good job. Really kicked my ass.
It was an interesting fight. I actually learned some things about up close opponents.
Yeah, we can really get in your hair.
And next to you, you feel the familiar form of Kimberly just sit down, not even asking this time. Self, good to see you. You made it. You made it through the cafeteria. Man, I almost got tripped 3 times on my way here. I don't know what's up with these folks today, but they are just getting rowdy.
Yes, it's not the place to be practicing takedowns, if you ask me.
And I see you've met Sawbone.
Yes.
You're in here with me, right?
Hey.
Right? Hey, finger guns.
Sawbone.
Finger hand crossbows.
Yeah. Fist bump.
Yeah.
This looks like quite a crowd. Mind if I sit down? And you see Jaxriel, the beastfolk dogman, in his yellow and green robes.
All of you, as you sit down, grab your things, you see a pair of small beady eyes, followed by a beak, followed by beautiful plumage, followed by the head of a small baby donkey. As Hody and Colaprico also appear at the final empty seat at this table.
I love that they move with, like, assassin's perception.
Absolutely. They have free reign of this monastery in a way that no one does.
Do they already have a bowl of stew with them?
Unfortunately, no. They are making very direct eye contact with Sawbones baked apple.
Oh, Sawbone immediately was like, "You do look hungry," and pushes the apple across the table.
Immediately, it is glopped off the table, and the two of them disappear.
I was going to break the loaf of bread in half, too.
They're gone. It's too late there.
Remember to eat some stew along with the dessert. Oh, they're gone already.
They are adorable. What are their names?
Well, the first one you saw, that was Colaprico. The second one was our combat donkey, Hody.
I did not know that was a thing.
It makes her happy to think of herself as a combat donkey.
You're telling me that little thing fights?
Oh, yes. Especially when cornered or if you have some food that they really, really want.
That I gotta see.
Even in my clan, we have not trained our animals so thoroughly. You must be proud.
I cannot take credit for the training, but I am very proud of them. They also strike with ninja-like precision, so keep an eye on your food, otherwise you might go to get it and it won't be there anymore.
Speaking of food, actually, I'm not feeling so well right now. Here, I'll give this to all of you. I think I'm just going to go find somewhere to lie down before my next match.
I'm sorry, Kimberly, this is forward, but I am the medical staff here. I am actually a doctor. Sawbone is a nickname from when I accidentally had a crowd during an amputation.
Perhaps you should go with Sawbone. I imagine you
My name is Henry.
I imagine Henry has something for your nerves.
The timing was so good. I'm just like,
my name is Henry. Yeah. Just like before you say it, my name is Henry.
And Kimberly was about to call you Sawbone, but I was like, it's Henry.
Yeah, please.
That would be great, actually. You know, something's been bugging me for the past few days, and it's about time I got it looked at by a professional. So, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll
escort
you.
I hate to interrupt.
No.
Would you like a little more mint?
Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you, Sel. And Kimberly will get up and go with Henry/Sawbone.
Yeah, Henry/Sawbone will escort Kimberly to the medical tent.
I appreciate that you guys are like, we're here for four sentences, and we're out. And with that, there are now only four people at this table. Selv, Jaxreel, and the reappeared Hody and Colaprico, who are desperate children who have never once gotten any food in their entire life. A burly form also barges into your table that, again, was empty a minute and a half ago. And a rumbly voice joins and is like, "Oh, enjoying the stew, Astralin?" As Kavos Pyrolighter, the dragonborn and representative of this abbey, also joins the four of you.
Yes, it is. In fact,
Actually, has Selv even been able to take a bite yet?
I don't think so.
No.
So he says,
"I was just about to try it. Would you like to, sit down?"
"As long as I'm not intruding on your meal."
No, of course not.
"You, what's your story?"
"In my clan, aggression is a sign of weakness. Or compensation for something lesser, perhaps."
Selv is like just in the middle of a bite. He's like,
"I'm Jaxreel of the Hidden Step clan. Kavos, you said your name was?"
"Yes, Kavos, of this very abbey. I'm glad you've heard of me. I haven't heard of you."
"Yes, your reputation does precede you. As far as me, well, isn't that why we're here? To make a name for ourselves. Soon you'll be hearing Jaxreel of the Hidden Step Clan everywhere you go. Mark my words."
"I'm sure of that, old dog. Astralin, the stew, are you enjoying?"
"Don't do it.
It's delicious."
There's nothing. Everybody
he
has.
Spit in it.
He would have to have spit in the entire pot because it's.
Yeah, Kavos would. Yeah.
He put his feet in it or something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's how you get that little ting.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, I'm eating the stew. So, how is it?
It is phenomenal. Imagine all the best curries that you've ever had, or spicy stews, or whatever. And it is just, it is so filling and savory, and just that right amount of spice where it's kind of burny, but in a pleasant way, and not in a way that gets in the way of the flavor. It's like, you gotta give them this one, unfortunately.
This is quite good. My compliments to the chef.
It's an old recipe, but would you like to eat it as a real dragon would? He reaches into his pocket and he slams a bottle onto the table, and it just has XXX on it.
It's turned into hot ones.
So we'll look at the bottle and then look at Kavos and then look, kind of look back at the bottle and then back at Kavos. And
is this a sauce for the stew or a drink?
Both.
No. Well, wet in the fire mountains, I guess.
He puts on his best wolfish grin and just kind of slides it over to the table. Again, it's very dramatic for moving it about 4 inches towards you.
Well, then I'll take it and I will, and then just take a small sniff.
All that wonderful smell that you've accumulated just being in here, all those spices, all that fresh baked bread, all those wonderful apples, all that other stuff is immediately ejected from your brain and nostrils, because this is both the pungency of high capsaicin content and grain alcohol shot right into your nose.
Ugh. I can see you made this one. Kavos, if you'll excuse me.
No, please stay. Show me how great and wise your clan is.
If the young one insists.
Very good.
We can wait until you have some stew in front of you also.
No need. He grabs the bottle and just takes a shot and puts it down back in front of you.
And he's going to take the bottle and just like dab 3 times into his own stew before setting it with a clink back on the table.
I'll take it and I'll sprinkle some on my stew.
How many? How many droplets? I need to know.
How many drops do I think was in the shot that Kavos took?
He took a glug.
A glug. We'll go with, take a spoonful.
Ooh, okay.
No. A spoonful of stew. And then I will put like maybe 5 drops onto the spoon of stew.
Constitution saving throws from both of you.
9 on the die.
Jaxreel also has a 9.
It is fire in your mouth. It absolutely clears out any last remnants of taste bud, or really just kind of what feels like any mortal flesh that is encased in your mouth must be gone. There's no way that I have a tongue anymore. But it's also kind of like a weirdly pleasurable experience. Like, it's kind of a tingly weird kind of thing. And you guys are both immediately hacking and coughing.
Please don't tell me you actually drink this swill here on this mountain. This is atrocious. This is acrid. This is an affront to food everywhere.
Kavos stands up. Good luck tomorrow, Astralin. And he claps you on the back. Wait, where did you put the bottle? Kind of looks around. It's not on the table.
I put it down right there.
And Jax raises his hands. I don't have it. I don't want anything to do with this.
All 3 of your heads bob underneath the table. And you see...
You cannot let Colaprico and Hody have this!
Hody and Colaprico lapping up from the bottle. The next day! What's in your mouth? Yeah. What's in your mouth? Drop it!
As Val sits up in bed from having a nightmare, has happened.
Sel gets ascending, like, what happened to my purpose?
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the midroll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show as well as our new Reckless of Snacks series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
Self, you have found yourself once more, bright and early, inside the Ring of Fire, in the combat arena here at the Abbey. You were not the first to go today, unlike yesterday. It was, not your most productive evening, I guess, in terms of clue finding, but I will say you were able to both calm your own bowels and that of Hody and Colaprico. Though I guess chickens, I don't know if they actually can do it, if they are affected by spice, but able to get a little bit of a lay of the land. You kind of wander around the grounds last night, but nothing really stood out to you. But at least you kind of got a nice foundation of where everything was. A few bouts go by. You see Sawbone go up against another combatant. We'll say victorious this time.
Full Sawbone!
Then the Bonettes let out a big cheer, obviously, of course.
And that's where Selv is kind of slowly nodding. You're like,
yes, I see it now. The rage and the difference. Yes, I see it.
He gives a good, like, you know, thumbs up or good job to Sawbones when they're leaving the arena.
You also, during the course of the morning, you see Edgarius fight. David, can you...
This one's for you, Kim Baby.
Can you briefly describe literally one
Kimberly
move...
Kimberly throws up in their mouth.
Literally one move that Edgarius does in combat. It does a backflip. Takes his action, does a backflip. Done. That's literally all you need to know about Edgarius's current fight. Very soon, the drums kick up again. The crowd begins to roil and cheer louder again. And you hear the ringing voice of the abbot call out. Our next combatants, Selv Asterlin against Kimberly of the Sand Vipers. Before you step into the arena, you get small nuzzle from someone who is not feeling well enough as Hody rests her little head on your foot, but just laying fully on her side, moaning. With Colaprico bundled up, still looking totally normal, sitting right on top of her.
I'll kind of crouch down, get on Colaprico's eye level, just say,
keep an eye on her.
And then I'll get on Hody's eye level and just say,
this too will pass. But I believe it is also a valuable lesson.
Know that if Sawbone in any way saw Colaprico and Hody dying from hot sauce, he would stop at nothing to save them.
He is not a veterinarian.
Oh no, I'm so sick. I can only be healed by cookies.
And with that, Selv, your eyes meet with your opponent.
So your opponent walks across the Ring of Fire and stands directly in front of you. Kimberly grasps your arm and just says to you, if you fight as well as you dance, I'll be in for a real challenge today. This is a tall lizard folk, about the same size and build as you, kind of slim and slender, and around themselves are wrapped these robes covered in scales, brown and yellow scales that would help blend them into the sand, as it were. And they seem strong enough to fight. Like, they take your hand with a firm grip. They look ready for this combat, so they don't seem too off from the effects of yesterday. As they step away and go to the other side of the arena, You see the robes around them begin to move.
And with that, I think it's time for us to jump into combat. As a reminder, we are using Extra Time, which is an official expansion zine for Tournament Arc by Biscuit Fund Games. It's a very lovely little system, simplifying your various duels in all formats, whether it is card games, martial arts, what have yous. And it's just a nice little, we've had a lot of fun just messing around with it. We definitely did do a few things wrong last time, but we think we figured that out. So please...
Sawbone does what he wants!
That's canonically what it was, is that Sawbones transcends...
game system.
Momentum works, just for example. That's the big one, but that's just, how Sawbone works.
Sawbone has legendary actions.
Yes, indeed.
In a game that does not have legendary actions.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for the first and only time, could I have the both of you roll a d20.
Kimberly with a 15.
Selv with a 7.
Ooh,
all right.
That means we are going to start with Kimberly of the Sand Vipers.
So Selv and Kimberly step into the ring of fire, equidistant from each other, and they are surrounded by this moat of glowing orange lava. Kimberly takes their first action to strike out against Selv. And what you see is that they begin to twirl, almost like a practiced dance. And as they do so, the robes surrounding them begin to shimmer and come to life. They take a step back, and as they twirl, several scales shoot out towards you, Selv, and hit you, gaining them 1 point and putting them 4 spaces away from you in their preferred zone because they are a back specialist.
Ooh, okay.
Because I'm in my target zone, I don't have to spend any tokens to do this strike, so I still have my 2. And because I scored a point, I get the momentum. What I will do is I will spend a token to activate my fighting style. And what that looks like is the robes around them just bunch up against their neck and shoot out all around them like a frilled lizard. Like those lizards with those giant, big neck things. Because my special fighting style is aggressive stance. And underneath the frills of these scales, you just see an individual who is ripped, just bulging muscles all over the place. This is a practiced fighter. Because of the aggressive stance, you are going to have to either score a point or spend a token to get yourself out of where you are right now, because there is something about this stance that just like shoots directly into your mind and it just causes you to freeze up so that you can't approach Kimberly.
I'm even imagining it that it is like almost like a perfect defensive posture.
Yeah.
Where it's not even so much being like frightening because like A, Selv has magic rings so he can't be frightened. But maybe Selv, it is like you see the way that this robe is roiling and extended outward and you immediately see, oh, I actually don't have a lot of good approaches here. I have to be very careful with how I move forward.
And the audience is equal parts excited, equal parts horrified, equal parts what's the definition? Scaroused of what they are seeing, including Edgarius, who is clearly in the front row.
He's been thrown out. He's out. You're out of here. We don't want
only he is.
Yes.
So the first turn has gone exceptionally well for Kimberly. They have scored a point. They are in their target zone. They have frozen you in place with their perfect defensive position. And now it is up to you to figure out what to do.
I would like to cast Fireball.
Alas.
However, I do not have that ability.
In no version of Selv do you have that ability.
It would normally cost me a token to do a strike, but because they are within 4 spaces of me and that is in my zone, I can subtract 1 token.
Mm-hmm.
So for 0 tokens, I will once again conjure whirling wind around my fist and strike out and hit Kimberly for 1 point.
However, with their defensive position, they're going to expend the momentum to cancel that strikeout, gaining you no points.
Ah,
ooh,
fancy.
And we learned from last time, spending the momentum doesn't immediately give it to your opponent.
Yep.
They still have to score a point in order to get it. So Kimberly still has the momentum right now. They just can't use it.
Okay. In that case, I am going to use my focus.
All right.
For an additional technique, block, or strike. And I am going to then, again, kick out with the wind whirling around my foot and try to hit you for a point.
Cool. They'll let that happen, so you can keep that point.
Okay. With the blast of wind also causing him to land a little bit closer.
So we are now three spaces away.
We are now three spaces away from each other.
Kimberly is just going to take this opportunity to keep up the defensive stance and brace against Selv's attacks. So Kimberly is going to gain one token for that, bringing their count up to two, and just hold a defensive stance against whatever Selv does next.
First thing Selv is going to do is the wind whips around his fists and he kind of punches outward in a double fist motion,
mm-hmm.
and going to strike at Kimberly for 1 point.
Sure.
Then I am going to spend a token to activate my particular style, which is Slippery Fighter. Opponent can't strike during their next turn. Selv kind of like uses that wind, that gust that came out, to kind of spin himself around and take a defensive stance. But for Kimberly, it hit in such a weird way that their neck frills kind of get slightly tingly, I guess, and possibly what could be a stun of some kind if you were playing a different type of game.
Got it.
But they're not as fluid as they once were for striking out.
A well-aimed strike, Selv!
I love that Sawbones is just raging on the sideline. Is it?
How else will his friends hear him?
I think that's true. I was going to ask, and I think that perfectly answers the question.
He already fought. He can burn his rages as he wants.
Mm-hmm. Sawbone uses a megaphone technique.
So Kimberly is feeling the effects of your special technique. And is reduced to evading, tripping, or bracing. They are going to take this opportunity to trip you from where they are. And what that does is it will shift you up to two spaces. They're going to shift you all the way to the other side of the arena. So we are just on opposite sides of this ring of fire right now, putting themselves back into their target zone, five spaces away from you. What I'm imagining is Kimberly is using the trip ability, but is actually kind of dancing around the arena to position themselves in such a way that they are as far away from Selv as possible to get themselves in the right spot.
Awesome.
Selv suddenly finds himself at shouting distance with Kimberly. And this is not really where he wants to be. I'm going to fake to the left and then dodge to the right and use evade to shift up to two positions, which will put me back where I was originally within three. And I am going to use momentum to strike at Kimberly.
Because this would otherwise be your third point consecutively, I will have to use my focus to block that.
Ooh.
Kimberly is forced into a position where they have to dodge and weave and block with their frills in order to prevent you from winning the fight.
And you hear from the stands, "Hey, Selv, back off! That's my girl!"
Upon hearing that,
Edgaris was kicked out.
Yeah. I'm just imagining the "not a girl."
Yeah.
You get a glare from Kimberly.
And as part of my strike, I can also shift one, which I will do to shift one closer to you, putting me two spaces away from Kimberly.
"Don't be like that, Kim baby. You know, we're great for each other. Come up here and give Edgaris a smooch."
Edgaris just sees a looming shadow over him as Sawbone comes up and very uncomfortably close to Edgaris says, "Nobody talks to my friends that way."
"Is there a cloud? What's going on? Does that feel a raindrop?"
So this is a pretty tough situation. Their back is against the wall, and what they're going to have to do is strike out against you, Selv. But because I'm actually way too close for comfort, so this is actually going to cost me two tokens to strike against you, which is all the tokens that I had. So this strike is going to hit you as a cloud of scales comes flying towards you and just starts to like shred your clothes a little bit. But you know that took a lot out of them. However, I will get the momentum back for scoring a point.
Yes. So, Selv, just in the moment that you thought you had them, all right on the ropes, you're about to just end it with a flurry of blows. No Dungeons and Dragons reference intended. They are able to slip away, block your attack, and lash back out at you. And suddenly, it seems like they may have a little bit more of the upper hand than they once did.
The Bonettes are cheering, Kimberly! Kimberly!
Because I'm two away, that is still in my spot where spending a token and reducing it by one cancels it out. So I am going to do a strike. Does that hit?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to use the momentum I just got and cancel out that strike.
Then what I am going to do is using that as kind of a feint. So the blast kind of goes a little bit wide as Kimberly's robes and everything kind of deflect most of it. Selv will shift one closer.
Oh, ooh. Okay. Neither of them are particularly comfortable in this situation, I think.
No, but Kimberly is definitely the least comfortable in this spot.
Selv is trying to move to get inside their defenses and hopefully render them less effective.
And suddenly you both get a flash of the dance that you shared a couple nights ago as you are face to face with one another again. Anything else?
That's it. It is now Kimberly's turn.
This close to Kimberly, you can tell that this fight has really taken a toll on them. They started off this battle strong and confident, but after being beaten down, after being almost torn apart by the blows that you've hit them with, they look pretty worn down. They have no tokens, no focus, no momentum, no resources with which to fight this battle anymore. And they look at you, and you just see the resignation in their eyes. They look around the arena, and they can hear the people who are chanting Selv's name right now. And that just further cements their decision to concede this fight to you, Selv. They look at you in the arena one last time, and take a step outside of the Ring of Fire, across the Moat of Lava. I forfeit! Selv Astralin is the victor here! And from their bow, they say to you, Selv, that was a lovely fight. I hope to see you in the ring again someday soon.
Or at least in the dance ring.
And as they turn to go, they trip. And some part of them, you can see, shudders and shakes. And they fall to the ground, clutching their stomach.
Selv will rush over to them, grab them, and move them off of the lava barrier.
Sawbones! Sawbones! Get in here with me!
Yeah, Sawbone, just at hearing his name, comes running.
Is Sawbone ready?
I regret my choices.
No regrets.
David was fucking ready with that. It delights me so much.
David is fucking fat. Secretly so pissed at me for thinking of this.
Yeah, because I mean,
he's
I
mad
was
about
going,
it.
Yeah.
It makes it better though, because it just means that David gets to get sit in the back and just be like, hey, is he ready?
Tell me about if he's ready or not.
Is he in here with me?
Right. As much as like I know you would have crushed it, David, I think there is a lot of value in you in the peanut gallery just yelling out the lines over and over and over again. So it
not having
there.
To say them with a voice. Yeah. You don't have to do that.
Yeah. Sophie has to do all the hard work.
Sawbone is Henry. His name is fucking Henry. Henry sprints up next to you and just starts asking like a lot of clarifying questions. Self, what happened?
Wasn't just regular punching. This wasn't for me.
The crowd, you all hear, obviously, as soon as Sawbone / Henry jumps out of the stands, the crowd is murmuring. People are starting to react, to gasp. You see more members of the Abbey kind of start to file in. keep people calm, that sort of thing, and things escalate very quickly. Henry, you turn Kimberly over onto their side, and you see they're doubled over and heaving. This blood red and purple foam and viscousy liquid out of their mouth. Already, their eyes are bloodshot, and you see purple tears start to form and run down their face. As you start to administer first aid, you start to call other people over, the crowd starts to turn a little bit and yelling out, oh my God, what's happening? What? Are they okay? What's going on? Did he poison them? And in that madness is where we will leave this week's episode of Reckless Attack. Tune in next time, everybody. Bye-bye.
Please don't tell me you actually drink this swill here on this mountain. This is atrocious. This is acrid. This is, what's another A word that I could say?
Awful.
This is ass.
This is ass.
This is an affront.
Yeah. This is an affront to food everywhere.